from the Disciples with Microphones Podcast Network.
And from the Crystal's Vintage Network.
Sheamus has gone disco in my studio. Arg! Crystal's Vintage Anywhere. Episode number 90. And now, here's that Latin mass loving snark of snarks, Ryan Michael LePage. Hello and welcome. Ego sum bionis Michaelis pagina. We are in the 16th week of Ordinary Time.
Not 90.
Hey, Seamus.
Not 90.
Will you knock
90.
That crap off? Thank you.
Sorry.
Now, I don't mind celebrating 90 shows, but I just wish he wouldn't do it with disco. I hate disco. Anywho, today we're going a little bit farther on our grand tour of the Tridentine Mass, the Mass according to the Roman Missal of 1962, as promulgated by Pope John XXIII. This is the Mass that Pope Benedict clearly stated in his motu proprio, Summorum Pontificum. It is the extraordinary form of Holy Mass. It was never abrogated by Vatican II, and was never abrogated according to the Roman Missal of 1970 as promulgated by Pope Paul VI. Today's tour will take you into what is known today as the Liturgy of the Word. But first, here come them jungle screechers. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Thank you, jungle screechers.
Not 90.
Oh, no, not you guys now.
Not 90.
Oh, man. Anyways, let's take a look at our feast for this week, the 16th week of Ordinary Time. Monday, optional memorial, St. Bridget of Sweden. Tuesday, another optional memorial, St. Charbel Maclouf. Wednesday, obligatory memorial, St. James the Apostle. Thursday, another obligatory memorial, Saints Joachim and Anne, and these are the parents, by the way, of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Friday, the only feria of the week. Saturday, optional memorial, the Blessed Virgin Mary on Saturday. And Sunday, this Sunday coming, 17th Sunday of Ordinary Time. Don't forget to check out the New Advent website, www.newadvent.org, for great stories on these and other great feasts and saints.
Christos Vintage Semi-Live on I-195.
Greetings, roadies. We are Semi-Live here on Interstate 195 here in beautiful Seekonk, Massachusetts. Today I'm going to play Road Jock once again as we review the music we did at Holy Ghost Church for the 16th Sunday of Ordinary Time.
Not 90.
What the?
Oh, God, I must be having a nightmare and a half. I never have disco going on my van's radio. Well, anyways, here's this weekend's list. Let's start with our opening hymn right here.
Oh,
Oh God, our help in ages past. That was our opening hymn for this weekend. Text based on Psalm 90, written by Isaac Watts. The tune, Saint Anne, written by William Croft. It's funny too how this Thursday, the obligatory memorial of Saint Joachim and Anne. Of course, Saint Anne was the mother of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Gloria was from Mass of the Angels, also from Jubilate Deo collection. The psalm, He who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord, with Psalm 15. That was chanted to Psalm Tone 8G. The Alleluia was the Mode 6 Alleluia and the Psalm verse of the day, Tone 6F. Our offertory hymn was Church of God Elect and Glorious, modern text set to the tune Heiferdahl, which we all know with Alleluia Sing to Jesus. I actually found this hymn to be a viable alternative to the more self-centered pieces like We Are the Light of the World. The Sanctus in Agnus Dei from People's Mass by Jan Vermulst, Memorial Acclamation Christ Has Died and the Amen are the Danish tone, and the Lord's Prayer, the chant setting in English. Our communion was Keep in Mind by Lucian Dice, and our recessional was this. All our God. Text from the German Nun Danket Alle Gott by Martin Rinkart and the translation by Catherine Rinkworth. The tune, named after the German Nun Danket Alle Gott, written by Johann Kruger. And that harmony you heard is from Felix Mendelssohn. And we'll be back. Hey, now that's the stuff that gets played in my band.
Peace and good. I'm Father Seraphim Bashoner, a Third Order Franciscan, and I invite you to check out the Catholic Under the Hood podcast, where I shine a little light on, and lift a bit of the hood off, of the mystery that is the Catholic Church. So if you are interested in the history of the faith, its traditions, its spirituality, join me as each week we discover more, live more, and pray more. That's Catholic Under the Hood at catholicunderthehood.blogspot.com.
Don't do this at church.
Please stand and dance around and join in singing
Hymn number 90.
Finally, I think we have a segment on today's show where we won't be tortured with any disco music. It really sounds like Seamus is pulling for that hit record. Speaking of hit record, my favorite power pop slash rock band, Raspberries, yes, Eric Carmen's old band, been reunited. They got a live CD coming out at the end of this month, Raspberries Live on Sunset Strip. And by the way, one of their songs just happens to be called Overnight Sensation, and it's subtitled in parentheses, Hit Record. Way cool stuff. Now, let's get on to our feature topic before Seamus tortures me with that disco crap again. On our last couple of shows, we've gone through the low mass and high mass versions of the beginning of Holy Mass according to the Roman Missal of 1962. That is the extraordinary form of the liturgy. Today we're going to continue on that by going through the real liturgy of the word section of the mass. That is the readings and intervening chants. Now here's something totally different if you haven't been to a traditional mass yet. Even on Sunday, there are only two readings, not three like in the modern mass. Although the modern mass does use only two readings if it's not a Sunday or a major feast. The first reading, well over 90% of the time, will come from one of the epistles of the New Testament or from the Acts of the Apostles, or on a rare occasion, Revelation. Very, very rare will an Old Testament reading be used. In this case, the reading would not be designated as the epistle, as you would normally see, but as the lesson. Also, unlike the modern Latin Mass, where the readings can be proclaimed in the vernacular or native tongue right there and then, the readings are either read or chanted in Latin. However, just before the homily, it is customary in many churches that these readings may be read again in English. Now, yeah, I did say the readings are read or chanted, didn't I? Obviously, in a low mass, the readings are read, and in a tone that may still be a bit faint, but definitely not as silent as, we'll say, the prayer said by a priest when he approaches the altar and kisses it. Now, in a high mass, the readings may be chanted. And take note, too, that in the traditional mass, there is no lay lector facing you. The priest reads or chants the readings facing the Lord. At the end of the epistle reading, also, there is no Verbum Domini, or the word of the Lord. That was something that was added in the 1970 Missal. However, at the end of the reading, the servers and even the people do, however, say, Deo gracias. Thanks be to God. Next are what are known as the intervening chants. The first of those chants is the gradual. It is basically a couple of psalm verses that are read by the priest. At high mass, this gradual is also chanted by the scola at the same time, while the priest is reciting it. The same goes with the next chant, which immediately follows the gradual, and that's the Alleluia. Now, the Alleluia is a little bit different from what you would normally hear at a 1970 mass. Instead of a multifold Alleluia, like we'll say the Mode 6 triple Alleluia, or that drinking song, the Celtic Alleluia, this is just a single Alleluia, okay? Now, the priest simply says, Alleluia, and then he says it a second time as a response to itself. Alleluia, one more time. Reads the versicle in Latin, and then followed by one last Alleluia. Now, at high mass, the scola intones the Alleluia. And that Alleluia is then repeated as a response. However, in most cases, the last syllable of that Alleluia in the response is an extended version. The verse is then chanted, and then followed finally by the Alleluia one last time with that extended last syllable. I'm going to do a little example here. I'm not going to use the chant from the Liber. It's a bit long and a bit high, too. I'm going to use a simpler form of chant as an example here, but I'm going to take the one for the Mass that was just this Sunday past, which in the traditional calendar is the 8th Sunday after Pentecost. Again, this chanting is done at the same time that the priest is reciting his Alleluia.
Alleluia.
see that extended last syllable? Now, during the seasons of Septuagesima, Lent, and Holy Week, the Alleluia is replaced by a tract. This is usually selected psalm verses or an entire psalm, read straight through, or in a high mass, chanted straight through. These could be fairly short, like the one on the second Sunday of Lent, or these could be quite lengthy, like the first Sunday of Lent and Palm Sunday. There is no antiphon or gospel acclamation like in the 1970 Missal. Now this tract, especially the longer ones, you could actually get away with using a psalm tone on some of these. In fact, the Liber Usualis offers the Palm Sunday tract in its original chant form, as well as another form in psalm tone 2. Now following the Alleluia or tract, there is a dialogue between priest and people that takes place, you know, pretty much just like in the modern Mass. Dominus vobiscum. Et cum spiritu tuo is the response. And then the priest says, Sequentia sancti evangelii secundum Lucam, or secundum Matteum, or secundum Marcum, or secundum Ioannem. And the response, Gloria tibi Domine. And it's pretty much like you normally hear in the modern Mass, you know, in English, the Lord be with you and with your spirit. In this case, the sequence of the Holy Gospel according to Luke, or Matthew, or Mark, or John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, at High Mass, the dialogue is chanted. People's responses are very simple. So,
Dominus vobiscum, et cum spiritu tuo, sequentia sancti evangelii secundum Lucam,
or
secundum Matteum,
or
secundum Marcum,
or
secundum Ioannem.
Take your pick. Either way, the people come out and say,
Gloria tibi Domine.
And now, like the epistle, there's no Verbum Domini or Evangelii Domini or anything like that, or the Gospel of the Lord to end the reading or chanting of the Gospel. However, the response at the end is Laus Tibi Christe, meaning praise to you, O Christ. Now, at Holy Name Church in Providence, the church where I played and directed music for the 1962 Mass from 1999 to 2003, the gospel is followed customarily by brief announcements. Those are the announcements, by the way, that would take place in a modern Mass after the post-communion prayer. After those announcements, prayers to repose the soul of whoever the Mass is being offered for. Usually the Lord's Prayer, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be, all in English. And then the epistle and gospel would be reread in English. All of this taking place at the pulpit facing the people. After the readings are reread, the homily is given. One of the things I forgot to mention, by the way, is the position of the missal while the priest is doing the readings. This is the readings at the altar in Latin. This is where you get to see if you have one of those handy little missals, you know, the ones that have the English and the Latin with a few instructions. You get to see epistle side and gospel side. Now, if you're facing the Lord, epistle side means that the missal would be to the priest's right. Gospel side would mean that the missal is to the priest's left. And that is the position of the book at those particular times. Now, the last thing we're going to cover in this section today is the credo. Credo in unum Deum, that I believe in one God. At low mass, this is started by the priest, Credo in Unum Deum, and the people join in at the line, Patrem Omnipotentem, which is the Father Almighty, and continue to the end. Now at high mass, the priest intones,
Credo in Unum Deum,
depending on which credo you use, and the choir and people would take over,
Patrem Omnipotentem,
and keep going to the end. And the priest continues to recite his credo at the same time and will often sit right after he's done, especially if he knows that the choir has a way to go yet. At the end of the credo, the priest turns to the people, Dominus vobiscum, et cum spiritu tuo, oremus. And then we go right into the offertory. There is no prayer of the faithful or general intercessions like in the 1970 Mass. We're going to stop this segment right here and start with the offertory on our next episode. Again, if you feel you want to get ahead of our lovely little tour of the 1962 Mass, we'll leave that link for you in the show notes for fisheaters.com, so you can feel free to do so. Okay, you guys ready for some music?
Not, not 90.
Not that music.
Not
real music.
Not 90.
Okay, here's Johnny Proctor.
Sometimes life seems too complicated. There's no reason to be so depressed. There's a little boy inside of me, turning to the Lord, trusting me. I'm saved by childlike faith. Childlike faith. Let's move from childlike faith. Heaven's pouring out on you such love. There's a little child inside of you, never doubting God who's always true. You're saved by childlike faith. Childlike faith. Childlike faith. Childlike faith. That's what it takes. Simplified of every complication. There's a love you never can outgrow. Ask a little child and they will know. We're saved by childlike faith. Childlike faith.
And there you have it, Johnny Proctor and his hit Childlike Faith, courtesy of PodSafeMusic.Podshow.com. Don't forget to check out Johnny's website, www.JohnnyProctor.com. And we'll be back.
Welcome to the iPadre Catholic Podcast. Interviews, stories, news, music, all things Catholic and then some, the iPadre Catholic Podcast, www.ipadre.net.
Here's where we held our last glory and praise and gather fest. Yup, in an open minefield. I have in my right hand today's Crystal's Vintage Top 10 list.
Top 10.
Today's Top 10 list is brought to you by the Spirit of Vatican II Fantasy Baseball League. Today we have Top 10 places where the traditional Latin Mass would most likely get sabotaged by liturgical abuse. Imagine that one. Top 10 places where the traditional Latin Mass would most likely get sabotaged by liturgical abuse. Hey, here we go. Number 10. Corpus Christi Church, Diocese of Orange, home of the infamous Barney Blessing. Number 9. Christ the King Church, Diocese of Oakland, home of one of the worst clown masses on record. Number 8. St. Angela Merici Church, Diocese of Orange, where they let teenagers preach. Number 7. St. Timothy Church, Diocese of Providence, where Latin never got a chance in the first place. Number 6. St. Nicholas Church, Archdiocese of Chicago, where even the piano player bops away while he's playing. Number 5. Precious Blood Church, Diocese of Providence, where the Monsignor Pastor prefers to be called Father. Number 4. St. Sabina's Church, Archdiocese of Chicago, home of the infamous Unity Service. Number 3. La Salette Shrine, Diocese of Fall River, where I have yet to hear of a Mass led by an organist. Number 2. St. Joan of Arc Church, Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, home of the infamous Sunday Gym Masses. And the number 1 place where traditional Latin Mass would most likely be sabotaged by liturgical abuse, the famed annual Religious Edumacation Conference in Los Angeles. Christos Vincit.
Ready, music, and fun. That's us.
Get the two podcast alley or go to dig.com. Old Christus Vincit anywhere says that snark with the facial hair. So let's vote for our podcast. If we don't win, that's okay, for it's one quick click of your mouse. Vote for us today. Hey, Brian Michael Page from Christus Vincit Anywhere. Don't forget to give us that vote at Podcast Alley or go to dig.com and give us your dig. Quick and easy, and one or two easy steps. Also, don't forget to leave us some feedback at the message boards. For it's one quick click of your mouse vote for us today. And while you're at it, please don't forget our friends over at
Disciples with Microphones. Individual podcasters united with a single goal: to live the new evangelization, bringing truth to podcasting through shows such as these.
Welcome to the weekly Roman Observer, our news commentary on the Holy Father's newspaper.
I'm Father Seraphim Bashoner, host of Catholic Under the Hood.
I am Father Stephen Cuyus, a Filipino missionary of the Sacred Heart.
My name is Greg Willett.
And I'm Jennifer.
And we welcome you once again to the Rosary Army Podcast.
This is Brian Ngo from the Verbum Domini Podcast.
This is Michael Kreidler from the Breadcast.
Dick Alores, and welcome to Going Four. This is your host, George Lee.
Welcome to CatholicJukebox.com presents Catholic Rockers.
This is the Catholic Cast.
True Knights Combat Training. Podcasting for purity.
The Catholic Mormon Podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Sarah.
My name is Lisa Marrero, and blessed to be Catholic.
Disciples with Microphones.org. Baptize your earbuds.
Also, don't forget to vote at the Blogger's Choice Awards. Christos Vincit, the blog, is running in the best religion blog category. Christos Vincit Anywhere is running in the best podcast category. I want to thank you all for joining me today. Tune in again next time for another hair-raising episode of Christos Vincit Anywhere. We will be continuing our coverage on a traditional Latin Mass. It will be taking up at the offertory. Until then, I'm Brian Michael Page. Peace. Hey, that's not our closing theme.
90.
Seamus, did you change that?
Bye-bye. 90. Not 90. Not 90. 90. Yeah. Crystal's B-Team is a member of Disciples with Microphones, the B-Team, Rad Singers, Rottweilers, and the Crystal's Vintage Network. And it's made on a crappy PC.